In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, where it says, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." In Romans chapter 8, 28, we know that for those of us who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Oh God, as Your word has been read, Your infallible and inerrant, inspired word, we pray, Lord, now a word again from You that You speak to us. Lord, amidst of a culture and a time where there's many voices out in this world speaking to us, Lord, we pray that as Your sheep that we would hear but that one voice. You told us in John that Your sheep know Your voice. Oh God, we pray. We pray, Lord, that we'd continue to hear only Your voice. We pray that You'd hear Your voice this morning. Lord, as You use me, Your humble servant, to rightly divide and expound and apply Your word to the hearts of Your people as the Holy Spirit, Father, touches hearts this morning. So, Lord, give me the words as well as give Your people the hearts to receive. Oh, God, help us to no longer be conformed to this world, but be transformed into the world to come by the renewing of our minds. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as I said earlier, there's a new year. How many of you are thankful that 2021 has come, right? It has been a tough year. The thing is, there's no promise that the year to come will be even less more difficult. And I hate to put it like a downer on that, but we don't really know what the future holds. We never do. Only God, as it says, only God holds the future. But I want to share a truth this morning. Next week, I'll go back into our sermon series through 1 Corinthians. But I wanted to share a truth with you this morning. It's a simple truth, but it's a profound truth. And that profound truth is this. And we read it this morning. All things work together for our good. You say, "Pastor, what is all things?" Well, all things will be one, good things. That makes sense. How many of you love it when good things come into your life? But get this, even the bad in our life, even bad things work together for our good. Now, if you're anything like me, you know that notionally, you know that in your head, but when bad comes into your life, you're wondering, where in the world are You, God? And what is the purpose for this bad in our life? Lord, this has been a tough year, 2020. Some of you have experienced many tough years, but now we have the year to come, and bad things will happen, as well as good things. But the Scripture is very clear, and Paul made it clear for us in Romans 8, 28, that all things work together for our good. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about that. How can bad things work good for us? And then, what is the particular good that Paul is talking about? So let's first understand this idea of bad. I came across a pastor, and he had very good insight and how the body uses pain, which is bad. How many of you like pain? All right? No. He explains how the body uses pain, which is bad for the good of the body overall. This is what he said. Quote, "I've learned a high appreciation for pain's warning function while collaborating with three books with a Dr. Paul Brand. Dr. Brand is a missionary surgeon who discovered that all the disfigurement that makes leprosy such a dreaded disease traces back to the loss of pain sensation. He says every square millimeter of the body has different sensitivity to pain, so that a speck of dirt may cause excruciating pain in the vulnerable eye, whereas it would go unreported in the tough extremities. He says internal organs such as the bowels and kidneys have no receptors that warn against cutting or burning, dangers that they usually do not face, but show exquisite sensitivity to distension. When organs such as the heart detect dangers but lack receptors, they borrow other pain cells called referred pain, which is why a heart attack victim often reports pain in the shoulder and the arm. The pain system automatically wraps up the hypersensitivity to protect an injured part and turns down the volume in the face of emergencies. This explains soldiers often report no pain from a wound in the course of battle, only to feel that pain afterwards. He says pain serves us subliminally as well. Sensors make us blink several times a minute. For what purpose? To lubricate our eyes and to shift our legs and buttocks to prevent pressure sores. And then he says this, pain is the most effective language the body can use to draw attention to something more important. Amen. Ain't that the truth? Pain, which, by the way, God created, what I mean by that, not pain itself, but the way our body can respond to it, right? God created within the body the potential to respond to pain, though, as I'll share later on, pain is never part of creation. It's part of the post-fall creation, but God created that. God created the body's ability to feel pain so it can point to something or draw attention to something more important. And as I said just a little while, that pain is not part of creation. Right? We think of COVID and the plague that is hitting this world. I want us to understand that this plague is within a bigger context. Pain is in a bigger context of fall. We live in a fallen world. And in a fallen world, we will experience things like plagues, things like pain. But even with all of these things, the Bible says that God uses that for good. You know, for instance, the pain of a root canal. Anybody ever have a root canal? The pain of a root canal is worth the greater good of saving what? Your tooth. A pain is a good example of what the late Dr. John Gerstner termed a good bad. Dr. John Gerstner, who was a distinguished Reformed theologian, actually in Pittsburgh so many years, he was the mentor to R.C. Sproul and to many, many other theologians of the day. But John Gerstner spoke about a thing called good bad. Gerstner notes that there are four ways to speak of or describe things that are ethically moral and moral actions. He says things and actions are either a good good, or secondly, a bad bad, or thirdly, what he calls a bad good, and fourthly, a good bad. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, let us look, and I want to look at the last one. The last one, this idea of a good bad that he talks about. A good bad is like pain. Just as pain in itself is not good, but it can be used for good. Likewise, what Dr. Gerstner means is an evil action or an evil event or an evil happening or evil state of condition or affairs, though evil or bad, can be used for our good. Now, do you know, for instance, what is the greatest example of a good bad action or event that has ever been done or ever will be done? Did you know the greatest good bad event of all good bad events is the cross of Jesus Christ, right? That's probably the best example of a good, bad event. What I mean is this. Jesus' death on the cross was the most evil event in human history. The most evil action of all evil actions that have ever been done, that will ever be done, and that will be done today. It is more evil than even the taking of innocent life in the womb. That's a fact. Now that was a great, great evil. Think of the greatest sin. You know, ancient Israel experienced and committed a lot of great sins, right? But what is the greatest sin of ancient Israel? The greatest sin was them putting to death Jesus Christ on the cross, right? Rome is known for many great sins. Rome was a debauched empire. We at least know this during the time of the church and on. But of all the sins that Rome committed, and because of that, that's why Rome is not around today. Every nation that sins against God and mocks God and goes down that path of destruction, God does judge. But of all the sins that Rome has ever committed, the greatest of all sins of Rome is putting to death one man. That's Jesus Christ. And beloved, I hate to tell you this morning, and many of you, I imagine all of you have sinned, right? You know, in the Bible, it does talk about degrees of sin. I don't know where people got this idea that there's no degrees of sin. The only thing is even little sins send you to hell. Because little sins condemn us? Well, the Bible's very clear. There are degrees of sin. And did you know the greatest sin that you've ever committed was the sin of putting Jesus to death on the cross? Now, I know you're probably looking at me like, what, Pastor? I'm responsible for that? You are right. You and I are responsible for murdering Jesus. Why do I say that? Well, the reason I said that is because our sins are what put Jesus on the cross. Beloved, if we had never sinned, Jesus would have never had to go to the cross. So not only are the Jews responsible for Jesus' death on the cross, not only the Romans are responsible for this, but every single human being that has ever sinned. I want that to sink in. So you and I are part of that evil act that took Jesus to the cross. Now, you would think that such an evil would be what Gerson calls a bad bad. A bad bad is something that's irredeemable. A bad bad is something so evil that no good can ever come out of it. How could any good come out of such an evil of putting Christ to death? Oh, but brothers and sisters, that's the beauty of the cross. Out of the worst of such evil comes the greatest of all goods. Think about that. The greatest evil of all time, out of that comes the greatest good of all time. The event of Jesus' death is the greatest of all good bad events. Why do I say that? Because of this, Paul can truly proclaim, as we read this morning, that all things work together for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose. And as we read from the Old Testament this morning, this is what also happened to Joseph. Joseph, if you know the story of Joseph, what did his brothers do? They sold him into slavery. They were going to kill him. But then they decided, just let's sell him into slavery. And then he's gone. Well, you know the story. The story is that Joseph ends up being the prime minister of the greatest superpower of the ancient world, Egypt at this time. He became the prime minister. There was only one person over Joseph, and that was the Pharaoh. And we know the story where Joseph's brothers meet him, and they realize this is Joseph. And of course, they're scared. They're worried. And later on, after the father dies, the brothers thought to themselves, this is when Joseph will now take us out. And what does Joseph say? He says, as I read for you this morning, as for you, brothers, you meant evil against me. Well, watch. But God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. What good came out of that? The good came out of what? That Joseph was used by God to protect possibly millions of people from starvation. And God used Joseph to get his family into Egypt. As we know, the next scene will happen. His family will be in Egypt for 400 years and they will become slaves. For what purpose? What is the purpose of the Israelites becoming slaves so then God can redeem them and we can have our Passover? And that's what they experience. So, beloved, this is what I mean by a bad good. God can take even the most evil things in our lives, no matter what we go through, no matter the pain that we go through, no matter the lonesomeness we go through, even things like political turmoil, even things like a plague, God can use that and does use that for our good. Now, in light of that, and I explained that, I think, the best I can, let me share with you three things I want to emphasize this morning. Just three simple things, okay? The first is this. Because of that, God is sovereign. God is sovereign. What does that mean? It means that our Lord God omnipotent reigns. Paul here in Romans is teaching us that God will always trump our will, that God's intentions trump, and God even uses our evil intentions, that God's purpose even overrides all evil purposes. Not only human purposes, but even abstract things like viruses, that God's purpose even trumps that. Now you say, what's a purpose? A purpose is an intended or desired outcome or consequences, and our desired outcome may be evil. But God can even direct our evil desire to work along with God's desire. Beloved, this is where the will of God and the will of man comes together like a river of confluence as it comes together. And as it comes together, the Bible calls that providence. Providence. The phrase that Paul uses, work together, is from the Greek word sun ergo. It's two words, sun ergo. It means literally to work together. So in other words, God is so sovereign that even evil intentions are worked into God's good plan. Now I want us to back up a little bit. What does that include? Politics, right? Doesn't the world seem, at least politically, just crazy? We can't even get our hands around it. I don't even understand it. And the problem with Google and the modern information, the digital age, you don't know what's true, you don't know what's false, right? They're like, you know, sometimes people will quote Google, and they'll quote Wikipedia. I'm thinking, seriously, Wikipedia? If that's your source, God help you. I mean, where do we turn to? This is a crazy world, beloved, that God is even sovereign over these big issues that are bigger than us, bigger than politics. Amen. But also plagues. This plague reminds us that there's a lot of things out in this world that are a lot bigger than us. But beloved, God is even sovereign over the plague. That God has absolute 100% control over these things. God is sovereign. That's the first thing. That means nothing that comes in your life is a mistake. Right? Nothing that happens to you is a mistake. Secondly, God is sovereign. This leads to God's calling. Paul here says, who are called according to his purpose? You say, Pastor, what is a calling? A calling is what God does. A calling is God's divine fiat. A calling, for instance, when God created the world, how did he do it? He called it into existence. What was there before that? Nothing. And out of nothing, God created the cosmos. Beloved, can you do that with your words? Can you call into being that which is not? That's what that means. In context here, when Paul talks about calling, he's talking about calling us from death to life. He's talking about salvation. Beloved, in other words, calling is God's sovereignty made personal to us. It's good to talk about the big sovereignty of God. It sounds so beyond us, but the sovereignty of God, when it applies to our lives, is called a calling. God is personally calling you. Beloved, do you think it's a mistake that you're here this morning? Is it a mistake that you're a Christian this morning? How is it that you became born again? It's from the calling of God. Beloved, how do dead people come to life? By God's calling. God called us from death to life, beloved. That's why we're here this morning. We're here because God has called us. He's called us to salvation, and he's called us to a good purpose. What is that good purpose? I'll get to that. But he's called you to a particular purpose in life. And thirdly, God's calling is effectual. God's calling is not only effectual, but God's effectual calling is on us as believers. Listen to what Paul says here. We know that all things work together for good for what? For those who love God. That's key. Those who love God. Paul does not say all things work together for good for all people. All things do not work together for the good for all people. The Bible's very clear. It doesn't say all people. All things work together for what? Those who love God. All things work together only for those who are called, only for those who love God. What is love of God? Love of God is not a natural virtue, but it's a supernatural virtue. A supernatural virtue. And God tells us all things work together for those of us who are called, those of us who love Him. Now, beloved, just as last year, this new year, everything in your life will be for your good. I want to say that again. Just as this past year, whatever happens this year, everything that comes into your life is for your good. But you may be asking me, well, how do you define good, Pastor? Well, let me help you. Here, good means your salvation. That's it. What has God called you to? To salvation, to sanctification. Too often we are looking at other things. We're looking at prosperity. We're looking at our jobs. We're looking at whatever good is, but we don't realize that the good that God really cares about is our salvation. The good that God really cares about is our sanctification. The good that God really cares about is our glorification. Amen? That's the good that God is working in our lives. Beloved, when God poured His love into us, we in turn are able to love God. And that love for God is what continues to push us on. Our love of God is what part of what the Bible calls saving faith. And saving faith is the result of having a spiritual heart transplant, which is our good. Basically, before God came into our lives, our hearts were filthy, dead. We hated God. Now, proof of that is this. How many of you like learning from the Bible before you are saved? To an unconverted person, the Bible is a total irrelevant waste of time. Why else are we here today? Why else am I studying myself and teaching you the Bible? Because I have a love for God's Word, as you have a love for God's Word. Why? Because we've changed. We love God. So what else explains our love for the Word? What else explains for us showing up on a Sunday? Isn't Sunday really a time to sleep in, right? Isn't Sunday made for sleeping in and getting brunch? That's what the world thinks. But for believers, Sunday is made for the Lord to come and to worship God. What explains our love for God, our love for Sundays? Beloved, that explains it. Because before we were saved, our hearts were filthy and dead. We hated the things of God, but now, beloved, we love the things of God. This is why the Bible says that while we were yet enemies, God saved us and poured in His love into us. And this is what Jesus meant by being born again and born from above. This morning, let me ask you a question. Where are you? Let me ask you a serious question. Do you love the things of God? Or do you still love yourself more? If you are not born again, then it may be that the suffering and the evil in your life is not for your good. In fact, all those good things that God is blessing you with are, in fact, the Bible says, an occasion for judgment, occasion for the wrath of God that is being stored up. You ever seen evil people and life seems to be going good for them? Beloved, pity them. Because all that good stuff is going on in their lives is preparing them for the day of judgment. And if you are here this morning like that, I bid you to turn to Christ now. However, if you are in Christ this morning, then you and I can take great comfort in a beautiful truth, the truth that the tragedies we endure in this life, beloved, are ultimately for our good, the good of our salvation, in light of God's eternal blessings to us. Beloved, as we go into this new year, I want you to take this message of hope, and I want you to take it with you into the new year. Always understand, we know that all things work together for those good things and bad things, for those who love God, for all of us who are called according to His purpose. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, I thank You, Lord, for this morning. I thank You, Lord, as we prepare our hearts for a new year, that, Lord, that we can fear not, as You tell us in Your Word. We can fear not because we know that as believers, that all things, the good and the bad, Lord, that You're working out for the good of our salvation and sanctification. We know, Lord, that what matters in this life, Lord, is our relationship with You. I pray, Lord, that by faith, that whatever comes into our lives, oh God, that You'd use it to help us get closer to You, to be more intimate with You, to meditate, Lord, on eternal things. Oh Lord, that You would wean us from the love of this world. Lord, as You prepare us for the world to come, the eternal world, the eternal age. Help us, God, not to be so myopic. Help us, Lord, to look at bigger issues and bigger things. Lord, we pray that You expand our vision, expand our horizon. So God, we ask this in Jesus we pray. Amen and amen.